Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, good day, friends. How are everybody today? We hope wherever you are, things are going well. Whether you're driving and listening to our podcast today, we hope traffic is light and you're alert. And if you're outside mowing the lawn and you're listening to our podcast, wonderful. We're just so glad that you would join us today. D.A. Bennett, St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. And in studio with me, as always, is my colleague and our good friend, Stephanie Greenwald. Pastor Stephanie, what's up today?
Hey, up is good. I am just having a great day. It's hard to believe that we are winding up summer and it's getting close to fall.
Yeah.
Football.
Hoodie weather,
flannel weather. I'm excited about that.
Well, very good. Well, I'm ready for us to jump right in today to what we're going to do. We're starting a new series that I think addresses something that every person, regardless of gender, race, tongue, tribe, any of that, something that I think we all have, and that's problems. We all have problems, and sometimes we're in a place where we're on top of our problems, and other times we're in a place where our problems are on top of us. Sometimes those problems are the consequences of our own decision-making, but other times we have nothing to do with our problems. We just find ourselves overwhelmed by situations or circumstances. We didn't cause them. We're probably victims of them. And Stephanie, you know well that as pastors, it is very common for people to contact us in search of some type of guidance or some type of counsel for dealing with a problem they have. And so for the next few podcasts, we're going to discuss some things that help provide power for our problems, or maybe you should say power for dealing with our problems or sometimes solving our problems. Sometimes we need power to help prevent our problems. But we believe that God's power is available to us in the midst of that. And so we've worked together just long enough that I think I know the answer to the question I want to ask you today. And I'm going to guess a lot of listeners will probably have this same answer, but here we go. If you need power in dealing with a problem that you're facing, whether it's a big problem or, you know, just a challenge that can be easy to overcome, if you need power dealing with a problem, whether you created it or not, what is your first step in dealing with the problem?
Well, one thing I have learned over the years is that it is a gift to have access to the Almighty God, who is the source of all goodness and the source of all knowledge. And so I go to Him in prayer for that.
Absolutely. Prayer is kind of my default setting whenever there's a problem, whether I'm trying to stay strong in a problem or somebody comes to me and they've got a problem. So many times if someone comes in my office or, you know, we're talking in the front of the church or worship center after church and it's like a problem, my face may look like I'm listening to them and I am, but inside my spirit it's like, Lord, you've got to help me with this. Lord, you know, I want to speak your word into this person. So prayer is my default response.
Well,
too.
And that's such a great thing about prayer is that you can be in conversation, you can be doing other things with other people, and yet God is there and He's listening, and you can have a conversation with Him in your heart. You don't even have to stop what you're doing in order to do that.
And I would say a lot of times that conversation I'm having with myself, and right now I'm picturing someone who may be listening to this, and and maybe they're driving alone in the car, or maybe they're sitting on a riding lawnmower and they've got their headphones on and they're listening to this, and they may not feel something in physically in their chest and in their heart, but in their mind, there's this conversation going on. And I think God speaks to us in that way.
Definitely.
So why is it that prayer is such a source of power in your life and your problems?
Well, you know, I think part of it goes back to the fact that we were created to be in communion with God. I mean, that is the reason he created us, was to be in communion with him. And so when we tap into that and we commune with him, then we kind of gain access to his reservoir of strength, because you can't be in his presence and not tap into his strength, because it's there and it's available. And so the fact that I know that he is not limited by time or space, that he's not limited by my lack of knowledge. You know, he knows all things and all times, all places. And so why wouldn't I go to the one who holds all of that in order for me to overcome whatever it is I'm dealing with? And the other thing that it comes down to for me too is what David used to say all the time is that he is our shepherd.
Right.
You know, that we are the sheep who sometimes have gone astray and we need help finding our way back. And that's a really simple analogy that he will then guide us back. But I think the hard thing about that is that many people have trouble discerning his voice.
Absolutely.
And that makes it hard, because you think, well, if I just go and I spill the beans to God, it's not just so that you get a weight lifted off your shoulders. It's actually so you can be listening as well for him to impart to you what's the next step to take. But I think that's where a lot of us get caught up, because we don't often know how to discern his voice.
Right.
What are your thoughts?
And when you talk about David talking about the shepherd, Jesus said, you know, I am the good shepherd.
Yeah.
I think most of our listeners are probably familiar with that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, our confusion, God, is this really you? Mm-hmm. And Jesus was clear, my sheep know my voice.
They'll know my voice.
But I want to answer what you asked.
Yes.
But I also got this kind of visual image in my head, because you talked about being in the presence of God and how can we tap in to that power, or even that, you know, we just can't help but to tap into the power, because God knows what's going on. And the vision I got was, so God knew what was going on before this problem started. Mm-hmm. And God knows the circumstances. Mm-hmm. None of this catches God off surprise. And God knows what happens exactly when that problem occurs. Mm-hmm. And God knows what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Where we may only see a single, and tunnel vision may be a good way to, we only see a part of it. God sees all of it, beginning to end.
Yeah.
You know, if it's based on our choices, God knows. If we choose this way, here's what the outcome's going to be.
Right.
And so it makes sense, if someone can already see the way through this to the end, if God can already understand, if you do this, here's how you navigate your way through this problem, then it makes sense that I'm going to go to God and say, God, you got to help, which is usually what we do. God, you got to get me out of this. God, you
that's
gotta,
right.
You got to get me through this.
Well, it reminds me of, you know, movies that we've seen where there's a person that has to fly a plane and they've never flown a plane before, you know, and they've got to save all the people.
What a terrible fear that could be.
Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine. But where they have somebody on the line with them saying, here's what you do. And, you know, at that point, when you're that desperate, because I think a lot of us find ourselves with problems in a place where we get really desperate. You get that desperate, you're going to recognize the sound of God's voice, because if you know God and if you've spent time reading his word, then you will recognize what he sounds like and you can trust him to guide you.
You know, I love that. That's a great analogy that, you know, the control tower, mission control.
Exactly. Houston, we have a problem.
Help us how to do this. Well, one of the things I think of, and I appreciate that you use the word that we're in communion with God. Yeah. And when I think of this, I was using a different word, but I think they're both the same. And that is, prayer keeps me connected to God, which is the communion.
Yeah.
And so, you know, how does prayer help me to have power in my problems? My mind was drawn to Psalm 121, a very popular psalm, because the psalmist is crying out for help and asks somewhat of a rhetorical question, but then gives the answer. And that was, you know, where does my help come from? And then the answer is, my help comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
And so if there's a problem that I'm dealing with, I will claim that truth from God's word that yeah. God is the source of the power I need mm-hmm. to help get through this. One of the lies that I think people are deceived by mm-hmm. is that if I have created this problem mm-hmm. on my own, then I have to solve it on my own.
That's good. That is a lie.
that people think that, I got myself into this mess. I've got nobody to blame but myself. I'm just stuck here on my own, whatever happens to me.
Right.
And I know that God, if I created my own problem, I know that God may not mm-hmm. divinely remove the problem
right.
from my life.
Right.
I believe all of our choices have consequences. Mm-hmm. I certainly believe there are sometimes God may divinely help us through yeah. something and we get out unscathed,
right.
but lesson learned.
Yeah.
But most of the time, God's not just going to say, okay, well, Stephanie, you're a good person. You preach
you,
people like you.
You get
you
a
know.
Buy.
Yeah, exactly. uh-huh. So I think a loving God, when we pray, a loving God's always going to be with me, that communion, that connection
right.
we have. A loving God is not going to abandon
right.
me just because I made a mistake. God's not going to forsake me because I got in trouble.
Right.
I also think it's important for people to know this, and so I hope this is making sense.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what we have or have not done.
Mm-hmm.
God's promises, I'm always going to love you. I'm always going to be with you. My grace is always mm-hmm. available to you. But sometimes God lets us experience
yeah.
the consequences of our decision, which can be problematic for
right.
us. Let me give an example of that so hopefully it's clear. One of the things that we believe Scripture teaches us is that the best use of the gift of sexuality
mm-hmm.
that God gives us is that sexuality, the expressions of that are best saved between husband and,
mm-hmm.
and wife. But let's imagine that a person suddenly learns that because they were sexually active, they're now going to be a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what they want. That's not what they planned. That's
mm-hmm.
not what they hoped for,
mm-hmm.
but that is now the reality.
Mm-hmm.
God is not going to reject that person
mm.
because they made a bad decision.
Right.
God does not reject us
Mm-mm.
because we sin.
Mm-mm.
So let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
A question that I have thought about and we've discussed a little bit
mm-hmm.
a few times is, based on a question, I believe Corey Ten Boom was
oh.
actually the person who is credited
okay.
as asking this question.
Yeah.
But the question is prayer, mm-hmm. is your practice of prayer, is your
mm-hmm.
habit of prayer, is that an emergency brake or a steering wheel?
I really like that question. I didn't realize that was from Corey Ten Boom. For me, I would say yes to both of those things because in my daily life and practice, it is definitely a steering wheel. It is something that I use, to commune with God, to connect with God so that I know where He wants me to go. So then
right.
it steers where I'm doing that. But if I am going down a hill uncontrollably and the brakes are not working, you can bet your life that I am going to use it as my emergency brake.
I'll bet the house, I'll bet it all.
That's right, exactly. But I do think it's interesting when people look at it as an either or because I think God wants us to talk to Him and commune with Him, connect with Him. Either way.
Right.
And a lot of times in our lives, we find ourselves in those desperate problem situations. I do believe God uses those things, although I think that is a trite statement, and I don't mean it tritely, but He uses those things sometimes in our lives to help us to see how much He loves us.
Right.
And so I hope that people find themselves using prayer as an emergency brake. But however, it would be our ultimate goal as a disciple of Christ that it would be used every day as our steering wheel. But what are your thoughts on
no,
that?
No, I agree 100%. I think it's real interesting when you get asked an either or question that the
yeah.
the nature of the question kind of leads you
mm-hmm.
to one or the other. But when you stop and think about it, it's probably not an either
mm-hmm.
or question. When I think, and I'm like you, I think of prayer as a steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
so much of the way I try to live my life as a disciple of Christ, mm-hmm. and I think I've been taught this, and so I hope other people learn this as well, is that I want my life to be led by the Holy Spirit. As a pastor, whenever, you know, in our system, we get a call, hey, will you move here? Will you move there? Will you go to this church? I try, you know, my answer is always, I will pray about this. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes when you tell someone, I'll pray about this, this is just a way of putting them off to buy yourself more time to make the decision. But for me, I mean, even when I received the phone call saying, hey, we want you to go to St. Andrews, you know, I was very happy where we were serving in Tulsa. Life was very good for us. Mm-hmm. We had said in the process we're not really interested in moving. But whenever they called and said, this is what we want you to do, it didn't matter how much I loved the place we were and the life we had there. And it certainly didn't have anything to do with St. Andrews or the people here, because we really didn't know them. Yeah. It had to do with our love for God.
Uh-huh.
And God, what do you want us to do? So I pray for guidance, and I think prayer not only guides me, but in those times perhaps when I forget about God, you know, make decisions on my own, it's when I pray that God brings me back to the place he wants me to be. You know, that's the whole thing. And sometimes when we pray, it's not to overcome a problem, it's to keep us out
to prevent
of a problem. So I think prayer is a steering wheel in that way. But prayer is also an emergency brake, or maybe I would say it's my emergency mechanism. You know, life is in an emergency situation. I break the glass, I pull the prayer alarm, and hope all heaven comes.
Right, exactly.
Which is what the psalmist said. You know, where does my help come from? Yeah. My help comes from the Lord.
Yes.
And so when I think particularly of an emergency break, I want to give two different options of how we think about that. The first is what you said, you know, if I'm in a car going down a hill, you know,
lost all control.
Brakes not working, I'm going to use that emergency brake. But the last time, when was the last time you used an emergency brake in your car?
Oh, gosh, I don't know that I even remember the last time.
It's there in case of emergency, and we're not in that many emergencies.
No.
years ago, I was driving on the Turner Turnpike. It's when we lived in Tulsa and had a meeting here in Oklahoma City, and I'm driving back, and I'm going up a hill on the interstate, and I have a blowout. And at the time, Garrett was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old, and he was with me. Yes, he was with me.
Scary.
It did scare him, but obviously, I have to pull off on the shoulder.
Yeah.
And change a tire.
Yeah. Right.
I'm get
on
home,
the Turner Turnpike.
That's what I have to do.
Yeah.
So I'm on a hill. I'm not on level ground, and I want to make sure that car is as stable as possible.
I see where you're going with this.
So I set the emergency brake. That's going to reduce the risk of the car rolling off the jack.
Yeah.
So on one sense, an emergency brake is there to help me stop when life is going out of control. But an emergency brake is also something that stabilizes the car. And that's how prayer works. You know, I'm
so
steering
good.
My way through life. If I lose control, prayer's there. Mm-hmm. If I have a blowout, if I have a problem, I may still have to get out and change the tire. I may still have to do some things to get out of the situation I'm in. But prayer is going to be the stabilizing force as I commune and I connect with God in the midst of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, in one of our earlier podcasts this year, we spent some time discussing prayer as a vital part of our discipleship pathway. And so, what effect does a disciplined prayer life have on your life when dealing with problems?
Well, I love this analogy about the steering wheel because, I mean, it really does help to sum up the answer to that question, that a disciplined prayer life is going to help us to take the next steps forward. And that's what I love about God's ability to guide us as a shepherd. But you know what's funny is, okay, so a couple of weeks ago, and there were people that I heard people were talking about this behind my back at church the other day. Because I had, I know, right?
Not any of our church people.
Of course not. No, so a few weeks ago, if anybody listened to my sermon, I I sounded a little congested because I had a really bad cold. And so I heard that people were saying later, you know, well, Stephanie just sounded very congested, which I did. And so,
I'm thinking it wasn't exactly very congested.
It was pretty bad. So I, that week around the cold, I noticed that every time I got in the car, my nose would, I would have that urge where like, I gotta blow my nose,
yeah,
like right now. And so I got to where I was carrying a box of tissues around with me in the car because I got smart. And while I'm driving, you know, in the actually driving, I would take my hands off the steering wheel and I would blow my nose like as I'm going down the road, not just at a stoplight,
right,
but like while I am driving, which is terrible. Don't tell anybody that.
I won't tell anybody you were driving with your knees, drinking coffee while you were fixing your hair.
Well,
on the way to church.
We would only be drinking chai. But that said, so I took my hands off the steering wheel and, you know, for a little while, the car keeps going straight.
Right.
But when, you know, your hand's not on the steering wheel for a while, then it starts to veer off.
Sure.
And I think it's interesting in life when we look at a disciplined prayer life versus a somewhat undisciplined prayer life, that things in our life happen that distract us, like a cold or a
right,
problem comes along and it is distracting to us and we feel as though we have to deal with it right then. And at times people will then take their hands off their prayer life, you know, and
yeah,
they'll say, okay, well, I got to deal with this problem. I'll get back to God later.
Right.
And that is the worst thing you can do. You'll go straight for a little while, but after a while, you'll start to veer off course again. And so the idea of continuing to stay connected to God, even when things come up in your life that would seem to distract you, which problems can do that. I mean,
right,
we say like, oh, we want to run to God when we're having problems. But a lot of times it's the problems in our life that keep us from going
that
to God.
That disconnect us from,
yeah,
God. Yeah,
disconnect.
Break that communion.
Exactly. So, if you can keep your hands on the steering wheel and continue to be in prayer and communion with God, you will find that even in those difficult times when you're struggling,
mm-hmm,
that your path will stay straight. And I,
right,
and I think that is really important as the discipline part of our prayer life.
What about you? Yeah, one of the things you said earlier that, you know, my first response in hearing that question is that the idea of a disciplined prayer life is, you know, by that what we mean is regular prayer,
mm-hmm,
not just praying before a meal and giving,
yeah,
God thanks, not just praying as a community when we gather for worship,
yeah,
but that a part of my daily experience is,
yeah,
connecting with God in prayer is through those times, whether I'm in a problem or not,
mm-hmm,
I learn to hear God's voice.
Yeah.
And the discipline of praying then is when I am in the midst of a problem,
mm-hmm,
I don't have to question if that is God,
no,
speaking to me,
yeah,
because I've got the discipline that is,
yeah,
just
you know,
me
the
how
sound of his
that
voice.
Right,
yeah,
exactly. So let me ask one more question, mm-hmm, and maybe this will be helpful for people, is what do you do, mm, when you want to connect with God?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking primarily,
mm-hmm,
anytime, not just a problem, but,
mm-hmm,
especially in a problem,
mm-hmm,
when you want to connect with God and you don't know what to pray.
That's a really good question. You know, I a lot of times over the last probably 5 years or so, I have been learning even more so what it means to pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians, one of the Thessalonian letters, he tells us to pray without ceasing. And
right, 2 Thessalonians.
Yeah,
yeah,
5. Okay, so then I feel like in learning that, you have to learn that there are a variety of ways to communicate with God.
Yeah.
You know, and speaking is one of those. Talking is definitely one really important way. But, you know, I tend to use praise and worship time as a way to pray to God. And that's been really helpful in my life because it reminds me of who God is. It's like God putting into me,
right,
his nature. And so then when I go to him to speak to him, then I know who I'm speaking to because I have listened that God is loving and he is a father and he is gracious and merciful and kind and drenches me in love. And, you know, all the things that the praise and worship songs tell me that he is.
And see, to me, this is exciting to hear because,
mm-hmm,
my thought is, you know, I'm disciplined in prayer because I've learned to hear God's voice.
Yeah.
And when I'm listening to this praise and worship and it's reminding me who God God is, mm-hmm. not only do I know that God is good and kind and loving and God is going to be my strength and my rock, anything that speaks against that is a voice of a deceiver.
Yes. That's good.
That is not God's voice. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to listen to a voice that's going to take me deeper into problems.
No, that's exactly right. Exactly. And that's why I think as we learn these other modes of communication, because God is not limited by anything. He's not limited by communication at all.
Right.
And so for me, music is a big way of doing that. But then if I feel like I'm coming to God and it's time for me to speak and I don't know what to say, I like to start out with, you know, reminding myself again of who He is. This is who You are. One of the things I've been learning recently, very recently, that I'm still diving into, is the fact that God has given us authority to pray with authority.
Yes.
And really that is praying with faith. It's a faith that is strong in the belief that God is who He says He is, but that He also, as children of God, has given us authority. And so when I think of other people that I am praying for, then it's changed the way that I have prayed for them. Because now, and again, I'm still learning all of this and I don't have it all figured out, but coming to God with coming before His throne in boldness and in confidence. And it helps me to take a stance before Him that is both humble but also confident, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here going, I don't know if anybody else connects with that. It's speaking to me. Mm-hmm. That's Mark 11, 23, 24. Mm-hmm. If you have faith to speak to that mountain, say, be removed into the sea.
Right.
You have that. There's an old song, gosh, back in the 80s. Old, old
yes.
age.
Oh, 80s.
But it was 80s. Based on that. It's say, you know, these are the words of Jesus and my authority, Mark 11, 24, Mark 11, 23.
Yes, yes.
Even though it gets them out of order.
Right, but that's all right.
Well,
yeah.
One of the things, a scripture that comes to my mind in that and that I find encouragement at is Romans 8, 26. Mm-hmm. It says, in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, and we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And so that's what I would share with people is if you're in a place and you don't know what to say, sometimes you don't have to say anything. Mm-mm. Sometimes it is that groan of your heart, gosh, you know, and God hears that. One of my favorite songs used to be a song called Listen to Our Heart. Stephen Curtis Chapman and Jeff Moore wrote that. And it's like, you know, we don't have the words to tell you what an awesome God You are.
Yep.
But words are not enough to tell you of our love.
Yep.
So listen to our hearts. Yeah,
yep.
Great song.
I love that song.
Well, friends, we're so glad you would join us in the podcast today. Again, we would always say if you have any feedback you would give us, maybe some topics you would like for us to address in the podcast, that you would certainly communicate that with us. Also, we would love to have you if you're listening and you're not a regular worshiper in a church somewhere. We'd love to have you join us at St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church. We have three services every Sunday. Our 8:15 service is our traditional service, 9:30 and 10:50 are more contemporary. And again, this is a new series, Power for Problems. And this week was prayer. I look forward to next week's podcast. As always, Stephanie, it's great to be with you in studio today.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks.
All righty. God bless everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. We're so grateful that you joined us for today's podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church. We're located at 2727 Southwest 119th Street in Oklahoma City. So if you live in South Oklahoma City, Moore, Norman, Newcastle, Blanchard, Tuttle, Mustang, any of the surrounding communities, we would love to have you join us for worship. Service times are 8:15, 9:30, and 10:50. We hope to see you soon.